You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's William Hill Jump Sunday at Kempton. There's also racing on the flat at Bath and two Irish meetings, Nace and Cork. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm not too bad, Mr. Mark Walton. I'm not too bad at all. I'm here, sat opposite you, talking about stuff. Does it get any better?
Does it get any better? You tell me.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. It's too early for a gin, anyway.
Yes. Okay. The flat season's over, Ross. You know.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
It is.
Well, it's clearly not.
Champions Day is the final fixture, isn't it now?
No.
According to the jockey title.
I don't give a monkey's about the jockey title. It's three more weeks, my good man, and I am sticking rigidly to it.
You're sticking to the old format.
No, it's fine. All right. Okay. Well, in that case, the flat season's over. I've won the nap stable. Thank God for that.
Thank God for that. Yeah. Sam Turner's creeping up on you, isn't he?
He's getting painfully close now.
Yeah. Forget about the Racing Post Trophy and the November Handicap and all that. It doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. No, it's cancelled.
Cancelled.
Hello, Doncaster. No, it's cancelled. Mark Walton says it's cancelled.
It's not me. It's not my decision.
No, I don't know who he is either.
Sylvester D'Souza, though, was crowned champion jockey at the Champions Day. Rightfully so for you. He's been consistently there.
Well, rightfully so. He's had the most winners. So. Yeah.
Can't really argue with that, can you?
Yeah. I mean, again, he's just an incredibly consistent jockey. The highest profile win, of course, was Arabian Queen at York, beating Golden Horn. And obviously, given what that has done before and after, you must think, what was it that made the difference on the day? And it's probably Sylvester D'Souza.
Judged it perfectly, didn't he?
He was in the right place at the right time and he took full advantage and he could smell weakness. And that's one of his talents.
All good jockeys can smell weakness.
All good talkies can... Yep, exactly. Apart from that, it's been sort of steady... Just steady successes on... modest to sort of just below a decent level of horse. I mean, his next biggest prize money winner is Notarized, who's a Mark Johnson handicapper who he rode to win the Old Newton Cup back in July. Right. So again, apart from Arabian Queen, which was a shock in itself anyway, he hasn't had any really high-profile wins or rides, that many of them really. So he's done it through good, honest, hard work in that grey area between the bargain basement stuff and the very top stuff. So, he's been excellent all season. Again, he's given some relatively average horses some fantastic rides. He deserves everything he gets. Hmm. And that normally you'd say that in a negative fashion, but I genuinely mean... he deserves all the plaudits. Yeah. He's been consistently excellent this year.
And bounced back from a tricky spell with Godolphin as well, which is credit to him as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's clearly thrived on being able to fend for himself, as it were. Hmm. So some people work better under a boss or a banner of somebody else's success, and some people work better off their own back, and Sylvester D'Souza is clearly... one of the latter, so fair play to him.
Mm. As we're recording this, we don't know the results of the apprentice title. Tom Marquand and Jack Garrity going right down to the wire. Obviously, we don't know who's won it yet, but two jockeys definitely for the future. They've had good seasons, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. Slight difference in experience as well. Tom Marquand has gone from pretty much an unknown to being thrown in at the deep end this season. He's had 552 rides this year.
Wow.
Which is insane, really, when you actually think about it. Compare that to Jack Garrity's 384. So bearing in mind that Jack Garrity's had about 170 less than Tom Marquand and there's one win between them. Jack Garrity's actually, but then he had 352 rise last year and 76 before that. So Jack Garrity's come through with a bit more of a steady run. I think that will actually suit him better in the long run. I think it's a better grounding. Tom Marquand's almost been one of those fresh faces on the scene. So suddenly, quick, everyone book him. He's on the up. His confidence is high. He's claiming off horses, and he's just as strong as a jockey who's not claiming. So slightly worrying in the future for Tom Marquand, hoping that he can continue that run.
Yeah.
Whereas Jack Garrity needs to have a little bit more support up north. And of course, horses like Eastern Impact, he's been integral in that one's improvement this year. Don Juan Triumphant, who won a group race in France yesterday. Jack Garrity didn't ride him that day, but he rode his last two wins. He's been excellent. And they've both been excellent. I honestly think a draw would be a perfect result for them. But again, both definitely, as you said, ones to keep an eye on from here on in. Again, Tom Marquand's biggest profile winner is probably Low Key in the Cesarewitz trial. That's his biggest winner in terms of prize money. So again, he's been operating on handicappers who don't necessarily have the class to get him out of trouble, and he's been booting them home.
Mm.
Jack Garrity's biggest prize money winner is Heaven's Guest and Eastern Impact, those two between them. So again, two rock solid handicappers who've been running in really good races. Eastern Impact's improved to go into a next level with the help of Jack Garrity. I think it's exciting times for both of them, and a draw would be a nice result. It might be, we don't know, as I said, by the time you listen to this, that result will be decided. But
yeah.
Should be interesting. Next year is going to be very interesting for both of them. Hope they can build on it.
Mm. Just changing focus slightly towards the jumps. We're going to look ahead to William Hill Jump Sunday at Kempton. Bit of news before we get to that. Zarkander and Cadabalay, both from the Paul Nicholls stable, two of his star runners really last year, won't run this season.
No. Again, Zarkander's starting to... he's not going to be far off coming to the end of his tether, I don't think, in terms of top-class races. Cadabalay is quite frustrating, though.
Mm.
As there was still plenty more to come from him. Does weaken his hand slightly, but I'm sure there'll be something else that comes through the ranks. Disappointing, but far from the end of the world.
Mm. Let's get stuck into it then. We'll look ahead to Sunday's action at Kempton. Ross is going to preview four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We'll start in the 2:45 at Kempton Park, which is the William Hill Download the App Store Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over 2 miles. We have a field of six here, Ross. And I suppose we could start with Lord Lear, who arrives chasing the hat-trick.
Yeah, which is a sentence I never thought anyone would say about Lord Lear, who took the best part of 20 goes to get off the mark over fences. He's won his last two. They were back in July at Cartmel and Worcester, so rather a different... a test for him today at Kempton. He's coming up against better horses. I think it's going to be a relatively tough task at Fareham, but this isn't a particularly good race. The likes of the Green Ogre finds it very difficult to go through with his effort. He's only won one race, and that was in a heavy ground novice hurdle at the back end of last season. Yabba Dabba Doo, again, is another one who doesn't finish very strongly. He's 0-14. Mini Muck could be of interest. I'd probably take two against the field here, Mini Muck and Under the Phone, who both have chances. Slight preference for Under the Phone, who's only 6 years old, has won here at Kempton in softish ground as well, back in February over hurdles. Disappointing on its next start, it was third to a horse called New Horizons last time we saw it. Sent off 11-4 favourite for that, but was absolutely destroyed by New Horizons. But that horse has gone on to win off a higher mark, and I think that form is very strong indeed. So I think Under the Phone is very much the one to beat in this. But Mini Muck is a worry as well, given Nigel Twist and Davies' horses coming off the back of breaks, going over fences for the first time. It all looks in place for a big run from Mini Muck, and the Twisty horses are just getting the hang of things at the moment. But Under the Phone, the selection with Minimuck, the danger.
Under the phone, the selection then for Ross in that one. Onto the first of two listed races at Kempton on Sunday next. This is the 3:20, and this is the William Hill On Your Mobile Novices Hurdle, a listed race over 2 miles. The market headed by Maputo, who's even money. 7-2 for Swansea Mile. San Benedito is 6-1. 7-1 for Midnight Shot. 8s for Regulation. And Paddy the DJ is the 20-1 outsider. Maputo, fairly useful on the flat, Ross, and 3 from 3 over hurdles. What do you make of him here?
Yeah, he was very useful on the flat. He's been good in the most part over his hurdles. He's a pretty keen goer, but that's no great surprise given his profile. He's won 9 starts. He's won 9 of his 13 starts in his career, which is insane, really. His 2 bad runs. One was in the Britannia at Ascot in a 27-runner handicap, and the other one was in the Prix Dollar in a Group 2 at Longchamp in very soft ground behind Cirrus's Eagle. So, apart from that, every other time he's finished in the first 3, which is incredible given the races he's contested. So it's very, very hard to knock him, and it's very hard to really find a credible alternative. But I'm going to try and find a credible alternative. I'm going to go with Swansea Mile. This race was won last year by Dan Skelton with Blue Heron, who went on to bigger and better things further on in the season. Swansea Miles come over from Ireland, was with Ted Walsh in Ireland, ran plenty of times in bumpers and over hurdles, and won its last 2. It was then sold for $30,000, joined Dan Skelton, and was thrown at the deep end last time out over at Market Raisin. It was a good run behind Clunacool, a very good run. It looked a strong race as well, and I think that performance was really indicative of better things to come for Swansea Miles. So I think with his first run under his belt for his new yard, he started the season in good nick. I think Swansea Miles is a big danger to Maputo, but again, I certainly wouldn't want to be a layer.
Swansea Mile then, the alternative to Maputo in the 3:20. The 4:25 next, this is the WilliamHill.com hurdle, a listed race over 2 miles. It's the reappearance of the new one, who's 1-7 to win the race. Stephanie Francis, 8-1 with Raven Black and 50s or bigger for the others. The new one has won this race the last 2 years as well. Ross, probably win it again, won't he?
Yeah, he probably will, yeah. Yeah. He's also won every single one of his seasonal reappearances. Again, he comes from a yard who very much have that kind of profile with their horses. It was last seen disappointing, obviously, behind Foyen in the champion hurdle, but just he's just not got the legs for that these days. No doubt he'll have a season where he mops up very, very winnable races and then comes up short in the big ones in the spring. But until then, he's a practically bomb-proof horse who's better at the back end of his races, which is always nice to see. There's been a couple of times the past couple of years where you thought, oh, God, the new one's in trouble here. But he's always come through with flying colours. And he hasn't got a great deal to beat here. He should also get a very decent pace set. Mr. Lando and Raven Black both like to go off in front, and both like to go off in front at a real clip as well. So, if there's without the favourite market, or if the new one doesn't run or whatever, I think Stephanie Francis is a definite alternative. She's a smooth traveller. Things didn't go to plan at Galway last time out, but that was in the Galway hurdle. It was in a very, very hot race. It was a bit of a gamble by Dan Skelton. But again, yard are in good form. And if the new one doesn't win, or if you want to play forecast without the favour, whatever, I think Stephanie Francis is a very solid alternative.
And the final race we look at is the 5 o'clock at Kempton. This is the William Hill exclusive mobile offers handicap chase. So over 2 miles and 7 of them in the lineup here. Ross, who'd you like to come home in front?
Going to take, a flyer with this and go for Arcane, who hasn't been seen since getting beaten out of sight back in May at Ludlow. But Pam Sly's horses are in really good form at the moment. She had a double the other day over at Windsor, and she had one beaten on the run-in at Chelmsford. And what I like about Arcane is he likes to pop off in front and jump them into submission, which he did do a couple of times last season. And I do like front runners at Kempton over the sticks. So he could be a big price because he's not particularly flashy and he hasn't been seen for a while. Walden Prince is the obvious one to beat. David Bridgewater's charge has really improved since joining Current Connections. He's won 4 times since July, and he bolted up in a first-time visor last time out. He's got up in the handicap £8 for that, which is understandable. So he's the one to beat. But I think Arcane is likely to be missed by the market, and the yard are in great form, and he could be gone beyond recall.
Mm. Interesting potential value there then in the lucky last. Let's just have a little bit of a summary there, Ross, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, Under the Phone in the 245, Swansea Mile in the 320, Stephanie Francis is an alternative to the new one in the 425, and Arcane to Make All in the 5 o'clock.
Superb. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
I'll try.
There you go, the thoughts of Ross Riley on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 PM. Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Sean Quinn will be the team in the studio. We've got William Hill jump Sunday at Kempton, racing on the flat at Bath, and two Irish meetings, one from Nace and one from Cork. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.